You may be seated. And as the grown-ups are being seated, I'd love to invite any children of any age to come forward. You can bring a parent or grandparent to come with you. That would be great. Good morning. Hi. Welcome. Glad to see you this morning. I want to show y'all something. Can you see that? That's pretty small, isn't it? I don't know if you can tell what it is. It's a seed. It's a mustard seed. My guess is that you can hardly see it, and our friends and family out there can't see it at all. It looks like a white card, but right there in the middle is a little mustard seed. And in the scripture we just heard, Jesus was talking about the mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this little bitty mustard seed that grows into this great big plant. And birds can come and nest in the plant, and it does all sorts of neat things. And so one of the things that makes me think about is that no matter how small we are, no matter how small we might think we are, God can always use us. And so you guys, as children, might sometimes think, well, I can't drive, I can't make my own decisions, and maybe there's not much I can do for God. But the parable Jesus tells us today reminds us that God can always use us to love other people. Do you want to pray with me? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you notice even the smallest mustard seed. The smallest thing on the earth you love and can transform into a wonderful thing. So we give you ourselves today and ask that you would work through us to love other people. Help us be kind and generous in everything we do so that people can see your love in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming down. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents. We're friends. For the past few weeks, we've been hearing some of Jesus' parables, and it's amazing to me how much truth and meaning Jesus can pack into a little short story. A very simple story of few words can take us a lifetime to unravel and unpack. It's especially true of the two parables we've heard this morning. We heard the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Now this morning I'm going to focus on the mustard seed, because there's enough in that one parable for us to work with for years. But in this one little parable, which is only two verses long, it's only one sentence long if you're reading the NRSV translation, Jesus has so much to teach us about life with God. And there's so many different angles to approach a parable from, so many different doorways to enter into the story. We could look at how small the mustard seed is, like I was sharing with the children, and talk about how much God cares for and notices even the smallest of people, even the smallest among us, and uses them to bless the world. Or we could talk about how the church started so small, how the kingdom of God among those early Christians began as a few dozen people in Palestine and has now exploded into this global church. Or we could move to the end of the parable and talk about that image of the birds coming to nest in the branches. And we could think about how when we are living into the kingdom of God, we are offering to the vulnerable a place to come and be safe and be loved. So many different ways to enter into this parable. But for me this week, what drew my attention was one word in particular. As I read and prayed over this parable, there was one word that just jumped out at me. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a farmer took and planted, and it grew into the greatest of shrubs. Wait, what? This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. Shouldn't it be a mighty oak tree or a shrub? If there's any word in the English language that is underwhelming, I would say shrub would be in the running. What is Jesus getting at? Did he do this on purpose? What does it mean to compare the kingdom of God to a shrub? And the more I read about the mustard shrub in Jesus' day, it was probably the black mustard plant, which was a scrappy little plant that would run wild when you planted it. It was hard to keep it back. It would take over a field. It was one that you wouldn't notice. Reminds me a little bit of the honeysuckle hedge we have in our yard. It kind of runs wild and we don't do much with it. But we don't even look at it. It's so scrappy. We like looking at the tall walnut trees and the magnolias. And I know in Palestine in Jesus' day, there weren't a whole lot of tall trees. That's not the environment they have. But at least there were the cedars of Lebanon. Surely Jesus could have said, the kingdom of God is like the cedars of Lebanon. But I think Jesus is trying to make a point. And as I pondered the idea of this shrub, it made me think about how God acts consistently throughout history with the underwhelming, with the unimpressive, with the unqualified, with the small. If we look at the whole story of Scripture, we see God again and again choosing the unlikely to carry forth God's kingdom in the world. When God was ready to call out a special people to represent God for all the world, God started with Abraham and Sarah, a couple who'd never been able to have children, and when God called them, they were beyond childbearing years. And yet God promised them that they would be the ancestors of God's chosen people. And those people spent 400 years in slavery, and yet God chose them, these former slaves, to move into the promised land and represent God to the world. And the person God chose to lead them out of the promised land was a murderer with a speech impediment. When they inhabited the land and they were ruled by the judges, one of those people who rose up to rule them was Gideon. Do you remember the story of Gideon? He was calling forth the big army of the Israelites to go and fight their enemies. And God said, your army is too big. I want you to pare it down. Again and again, God told Gideon, it needs to be smaller. It needs to be smaller. I don't want a mighty cedar. I want a shrub. And the prophets over and over again, or Jeremiah was so young, and Isaiah was worried about his past, and Hosea had a troubled marriage. And then when it comes time for God to become flesh and dwell among us, God didn't choose to be born into the world by Cleopatra or by the wife of the Roman emperor or even by the wife of the high priest, but by a poor peasant girl who wasn't even married yet. Are we sensing a theme here? What is God up to? A few times in those stories, God makes it clear what God is up to. With Gideon, for example, God says to Gideon, if you go and defeat your enemies with a big army, you'll take the credit for it. You'll think it was your doing. So I want you to go in there with a shrub of an army so you know it was done by me, God says. That it is through my power that you have defeated your enemies. And when Mary says to God, who am I? I've never known a man. How is this going to happen? God says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it will be through my power and my power alone that the kingdom is realized on the earth. Again and again and again, God chooses the unlikely, the unqualified, the unimpressive, so that it will be clear to the world that God is at work. I don't know about you, but this parable hit me pretty hard. Because I've been trying really hard to be impressive. I've been appointed as the senior pastor at West End United Methodist Church, a a church with an incredible tradition and legacy in this community. And when I moved into my office on the third floor, I thought about all the amazing people who have been in that office before me. And for my first few weeks here, I was really bearing those expectations. Not that you placed them on me, but that I put on myself. I've got to be impressive. And then I went to camp meeting. If you were here last week, you heard me talking about this family reunion that we have, where we go to church twice a day. It's a good old Methodist revival. And our preacher for the week, David Callis, preached a sermon on Wednesday night. And at the end of it, he made an altar call. And he said, if you need to come forward and offer yourself again to God, I invite you to come. I mean, we've all given our lives to God, given our lives to Christ, but we don't just do that once. We do it every day. We need to do it again and again. And as he preached, I realized how distracted I had become by trying to be impressive and trying to do this ministry myself. And I felt God calling me to get on my knees and offer this ministry to God. I felt God saying to me, Carol, this is so not about you. Sometimes I need that reminder. And so I got up out of my pew and I walked down that aisle and I offered myself and I offered this ministry to God. And I want you to know that. Because I don't know where God will take us. We could grow into this messy, shrubby thing. God could grow us into a great cedar tree, but you know what? That is up to God. What we must do is remember again and again that it is God who is at the heart of our ministry together. When I think about all of those heroes of the faith, those prophets and Moses and Mary, they all argued with God. They all felt unqualified to do what God was calling them to do. But God kept at them, and finally, each and every one of them was able to say, here I am. And so when you hear this parable this morning, I hope you hear within it a calling on your life to offer yourself to God once again, to do with as God chooses. It may be that, like me, you're a little obsessed with being impressive, and that's been your focus. Or it may be you're in a place that God can't call me. I don't have the skills. I don't have the talents. I can't do this. Well, wherever you're coming from, let us be reminded today that the calling comes from God, and all God needs from us is not our impressiveness, is not all of our skills. God just wants us to be faithful and to say to God, here I am, just as I am. Our Wesleyan tradition has handed down to us the perfect prayer to say this to God. And in a few moments, I want us to pray that prayer together. It's in our hymnals on page 607. But before we do that, I want to invite you to take a few moments to pray and reflect in silence. To ask God what it is God is calling you to do and to be. And to offer yourself again for God's use, for God's kingdom. Letting go of the outcomes, but only giving yourself. Maybe some of you would be willing to spend this time in silence praying for us as a congregation. How is God calling us afresh to say, here we are. Show us the way, God, into your future. Let us spend a few moments offering ourselves, our little mustard seed of faith, to God. For God to do with as God chooses.